I'm a new client coming in to the gym. If I just walk in the door, I'm like, hey, I want to become more fit. I want to change my health. What are some steps? What would it look like? A little visualization of me coming in.
The idea would be we call a discovery session.
Yep.
You can't answer any of those questions until you find out kind of what their life is now. We want to be able to tell them how to get to B, but until I know where A is, I can't tell them the best direction. Being able to ask where is it that you want to go? What's kept you from getting there until now? And then a lot of it you could just find out by just asking them the basic stuff.
It's a special place, not because of the walls or the weights or the decor, but because of the characters that hang out here. I'm Jake Waring, and my family has been empowering our community's journey to optimal health and fitness for generations. We are a family, and we help other families. And this is the pursuit of excellence, meaningful results, genuine connections, and having plenty of good laughs along the way. This podcast embodies all those principles. Join us each week as we share stories, insights, and tips that may help you reach your fullest potential in mind, body, and spirit.
How long have you been at Waring's Gym now?
Since 2014.
No. 2014?
Yep.
It seems like it was longer than that.
Maybe 2013. Maybe that's my late 2013 when I first started teaching Cardio Blitz. Maybe. But
dude, because I didn't know you at all. This was our vetting process was completely different then.
Yeah.
And it was more, I think Kim Scholl hired you, right?
She did. Yeah. I applied on Nextdoor.
Oh, is that on Nextdoor?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And Kim Scholl answered.
Well, someone texted me a picture that they were looking for an instructor, and then I applied.
Wow. And did you, when they said instructor, what did you think they meant by instructor?
I had no idea. I just knew that Waring's was legit. And I was like, I got to go check this out.
That was for me because I never saw you one time in my life until, oh, hey, man, here's this dude coming in here and he's going to teach the what class was
Cardio Blitz.
The Cardio Blitz class,
yeah.
You know, which was like a bunch of ladies. It was two different entities at that time. There was the Waring's gym floor where we lift weights and we work out.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was that room where ladies just you just bounced all over the place for an hour for maybe 2 to 3 classes back.
It was hard. And right. You were working out with them too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember just being like, dude, there wouldn't have been I'm like, I don't want anything to do with that room. I'm about Waring's gym. You know, I like out here on the floor. We get strong out here and that we're fine with having those ladies do that. That was my, young prideful mentality. And I remember you going in there and you were going 100%. Like, I was like, man, this dude is all in. And I was just like, so floored. I was just like, I have a lot of respect for this dude just because you did that. Because I wouldn't have had the guts to do it. I could do it now.
Yeah.
But I was too prideful that I wouldn't have had the guts to do that then.
Yeah, I think the whole time I was thinking, I was like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm just going to copy what I learned in the class before and try to make it my own. And I was like, man, I'd walk away and be like, man, I didn't do a good job. and then everyone's like, yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. Can we teach the next one?
How did it go? Do you remember anything about the class?
I remember trying to get the microphone to work. And then everyone's like, don't wear the microphone. You're not supposed to wear the microphone. And I was like, I couldn't figure it out. And I couldn't turn the music up or down. I couldn't figure that out.
It was like a bad dream.
It was bad. Yeah. And then, there's six women in class and they're I just was throwing stuff together.
Do you remember any of the exercises at all?
I just remember on the bike a lot, and then we had a pair of dumbbells and then a step. So you'd be doing some step stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Box. I didn't know anything, so I would just do box jumps on there.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't remember when I started talking to you, really.
It's probably a few months after that. I remember there was a snowstorm that happened in Virginia Beach. Everything was shut down. So I went to the gym, and then that's when I talked to Chris, and he was like, we were thinking about you being an intern here. And then I think after that, I started coming more. And that's why I started talking to you a little bit more.
I remember really, I was super impressed, but I was also pretty hard on you too.
Oh, yeah. The first fit moves that I taught, be louder.
Right.
And then I'm yelling at the top of my lungs and then hands in at the end. All right, guys, it's only going to get better from here. we're going to figure this out. You got to start somewhere. I was like, all right, yeah, well, I need to do better.
For the record, I'm the one who's saying that. Wasn't you saying
that? Yeah, that was you saying that to the group. Yeah.
I think about that now when you have like our young coaches now who think, oh, I will never be at the level of Jimmy Mitchum. I was like,
just crazy.
I remember when Jimmy was a turd, you know? I don't remember specifically like what I said, but pulling everybody in the room, yeah. Like, hey, you know what? Sometimes we're not that good, yeah. You know?
That's exactly what happened. Yeah, it was great.
I mean, but it worked out.
Oh, yeah, it definitely worked out. Yeah, I needed to hear that.
Right.
At the time, yeah.
I mean, and look at you now.
Look at me now.
You're welcome.
Look at me now.
All you guys who like clamor into Jimmy's class, you can thank me.
That's right. That's right.
I should get a cut of all your classes.
Yeah.
So now that you're in like this mentorship position, so now you are the head coach of Waring's Gym. So it's like all these coaches are responsible for their sessions. Meanwhile, you're accountable. If something goes wrong, I'm not talking to Maria or Emily. I want to talk to Jimmy. Like, yep. what's wrong with this? You being in the mentorship position now, like, how much does you, when you were, let me backtrack, when you were the mentee, how does that translate into how you're the mentor now? Was that clear?
Yeah. I just try to think about like what worked for me, like what I really like enjoyed hearing, you know, like whether it was, you know, Coach Ben or Coach Chris or you or Terry, like what helped me like in those situations. Like I tried to apply that to where I'm talking to other people. And like some of the biggest mentors I've had in the past are a lot of my clients, like that have given me the confidence to be like, no, dude, you're right. Like this is helping me. Right. And like what you're doing is a positive influence on what I'm trying to achieve.
Right.
And that was, you know, huge for me. Cause it was something I had to deal with. I never was confident enough.
Right.
In what I was doing. Like I knew what I was doing was right, but like, I wasn't sure if it was right for that person, but they validated me and told me, and then gave me that confidence. And then over time I became a better coach.
Well, if that was the way, so that's basically like the trial and error.
Yeah.
How often did it go the other way where it's like, oh, I'm seeing if this works and they're validating me, it's right. Are there times when it's like you find out, yeah, that.
Oh, for sure. Work. Yeah. Yeah. Less times than the good, but
amen.
Those are the times that I probably remember the most is when like, oh yeah, my back hurts after I did that. Like, what did I do wrong? You know, right. And it made me realize like, okay, I got to have a little more intention in this. I can't just give people these exercises for what I think is going to work for them. Like,
right.
I got to make sure that it's going to be actually beneficial.
Do you have like any like specific memories of a mentor of yours that, something that stayed with you forever? Like a specific like situation where somebody like,
I mean, there's definitely a handful of them. I definitely remember learning like a single leg reach one time. I was having somebody do it, and then like across the gym, Chris goes, "You're doing that wrong," and like, you know, like fix the person. And then like ever since then, I knew, okay, that's the right way. Like I was just having people just like kick their leg back and just kind of go through the motion. And I remember him telling me that. And then other times, like Mark Thomasy, mm-hmm. He just helped me like be confident, really. It's like, dude, you can do this. And it wasn't even through like coaching people. It was like, I was trying to learn how to run long distances. And like, he was like, dude, I'm going to show you how to do this. And
I never knew
he kind of took me through that and was like, wait, I can do this on my own.
Right.
And it kind of gave me the confidence to be like, all right, well, maybe I can learn this and put my own spin on it.
Right.
And ever since then I was like, okay, I can develop my own training system
right.
a little bit better.
So you think now as a mentor that's what you would like to do is to yell across the room, you're doing that wrong.
No. I don't like that. That doesn't work for a lot of people. I think more as a mentor, I got to give them my experiences, like what has worked for me, and then show them. I almost try to do that too with like young men, like guys that like I see going down the path that I went down.
Right.
And being like, dude, don't go down that path. This is what happens. A, X, Y, Z. Just trying to be like, dude, don't go down the same road I went down.
Right.
You know?
When you say it, like, I mean, I have the hardest time imagining Chris doing that. Like, I mean, as somebody who was also learned under Chris, like, I wonder how much that is. Like, I've never heard him yell.
He was in his office and I think he is just, he just gave me some tough love.
Yeah.
No doubt. And it was a good thing. Like, it wasn't a bad thing. It was just like something I needed to hear at that moment, you know?
Right. And I super value it. Me coming up, and I got into the gym not knowing anything. Like, if I don't have the last name Waring, there'd be no sense to even hire me, you know, hiring me based on experience or knowledge, because I don't have any. And so I just learned from there. Now, granted, I also got brought up, even though I'm family, I had to start out for free cleaning equipment, you know what I mean? And walking the floor and having experiences with people. I wasn't allowed to like put my hands on anybody for, you know, months and months and months. And teaching like classes, and we did classes totally different then too. Like that was, Terry really revolutionized that. She wrote all the classes and all we had to do was coach what she wrote. And now we do that where Janelle writes the classes and we just have to coach what she writes down. But back then, you're going to coach, you got to write it. Like, this is your class.
I remember that. Yeah.
And having to go through Ben, I'm real grateful for it, but Ben was a hard teacher.
Ben was another one that was also like that same experience.
Right.
But it made me a better coach.
100%.
For sure.
But that's where I question. It's like, oh man, like I don't like to coach that way. I definitely don't want to yell across the room. And now I've never heard Chris yell across the room. Ben yelled across the room to me countless times. I mean, countless times would embarrass me in front of somebody, you know? But again, was it terrible? Yeah. Do I value it? A whole lot. Mm. Am I going to do it? I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, like I just don't feel like it's me.
Yeah.
To do that.
And I mean, that's another thing that's going to be like, all right, that's different for my teaching way. You know, it's like, all right, don't do that. You know?
Right. So then we know the way that we don't want to do. So like, how do we do it? Like, now we're in this situation where we have coaches who are real passionate, but also like we were spoiled at Waring Gym for a long time, because we just had this like 1927 Yankees roster, you know, of just like, everyone's a banger, you know, like everybody, like, these are great coaches. You'd put them up against any coach, you know, in the world, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's like, now you have these coaches who have that fire that, like, it's hard for me. I don't have that fire that they have anymore. I have the experience, you know, that I can fall back on in rough times. But how do we, like, what's our plan for helping to shape them now?
I think just through trial and error, and then being the example that we want them to see, you know, and like learning from them, what is the best way that they learn? Because it's not going to just be like one thing one day. It's going to be a consistent effort through those months and years of being here.
Right. I would say that probably the biggest hurdle that I see is probably in their confidence. It's not in what they know. It's that in their, this is, most of them tend to be a little more timid.
Yeah.
Which won't ever work. Like, no coaching session works that you're not in charge of, you know?
That's a good point. Yeah.
If the coach isn't clearly in charge, the coach doesn't decide yes or no, you're not really a coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, what can we do? And I feel like they've already gotten so much better at that.
Yeah.
But like, what's the secret? How would we bottle that to where, if we were, that's what we do, is we're no longer coaches, but now we make coaches. How do we bottle that of like getting people to be confident in what they do, not just know, but confident that they know?
That's a great question.
I thought so too.
That's a great question.
I mean, I think that it's the, what you were saying, the trial and error.
Yeah.
But I think that we can be more intentional.
Yeah.
In the trying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, kind of putting them in situations to error. Like, you think about our learning stuff, where most of the times we were making errors.
Yeah. That's,
and somebody calling us out on the errors. But if we're just letting them always play it safe, you know, like, they don't make as many errors, and they make few of them.
Yeah. I guess like holding their feet to the fire a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's think about, I think he's canceled now. I just found out from Netflix. that Brett Favre has canceled.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But to me, the thing that always stuck out about Brett Favre was that he like has the most interceptions in the history of the NFL, which that's a dude who's like, you know what? We're living or dying right now. Yeah. And but there's something I like, that kind of gunslinger attitude of like, we're not afraid to fail today.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think getting those, our coaches to have that energy to being like, okay, I'm not because I know when I was a young coach, I'd be afraid to like make someone upset by like giving them the wrong exercise or like giving them something to be uncomfortable. And it's like, you got to embrace that a little bit.
Right.
You got to, especially to grow, like they're going to have to be uncomfortable a little bit.
Especially that's what we're going to demand. This is what you're going to demand of the people you're coaching.
Yep.
You know, if people did what came naturally to them, they wouldn't need a coach.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing is getting people to do what's unnatural to them.
Yeah.
You know, when I say that, not that we're on here to give you compliments, because I personally don't like giving you compliments.
I know you don't. I know you don't.
But if I have to think of one thing that makes you a special coach, and I do, I think, I know you don't like to hear it. You're an elite coach. You are a tremendous coach. And I think the thing, like Brett Favre throwing the interceptions, the thing that makes you elite is your ability to get people to do things that it makes no sense for them to want to do.
Yeah.
You know, like to me, like when I'm like doing a workout that you wrote with people and it says doing teacups, I'm like, dude, I can't sell teacups. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't want to do it. People don't want to do it. And I go back there and I see you with millionaires who, you know, millionaires aren't used to people telling them no. Millionaires like to be the one who determine.
Yeah.
But in this coaching session, doesn't matter. I'm in charge. Either I'm in charge or this doesn't work. And you got these dudes doing teacups. How do you do it?
Oh, I mean, I've just like educated myself on the benefits of those exercises, and I've done them myself and I've reaped the benefits of it. So when I ask people to do it, I just kind of like, skipping's a great example. Like people are like, man, I look so dumb. Like, why am I skipping? Like, this is so silly. And then I just drop some knowledge on them being like, you're preparing your tissues to be able to land. You're getting your hip in extension as you're pushing off. It's the precursor to running. Like all these different like little bullet points of like why you should do these things and why they're important. And it's like, dude, if you're coming from a place of, I want what's best for you, not just what's for me. Like I want what's best for you. Then I feel like I'm gaining their trust. And that's probably the biggest obstacle you got to get with any client. It's like, can they trust you?
Are you tired of feeling sluggish, out of shape, and unmotivated? Introducing Xrcize, the all-natural solution for boosting energy, building strength, and improving mood. Now available anytime at Waring's Gym. Xrcize is a fast-acting, non-prescription solution, clinically proven to reduce stress, improve cardiovascular health, and sculpt your body, all with just 30 minutes a day. Side effects of Xrcize may include increased muscle mass, enhanced mood, boosted self-confidence, and a stronger heart. In some cases, users may experience the desire to wear smaller jeans and post-workout selfies. Talk to your loved one today to see if Xrcize at Waring's Gym is right for you. Join now and take the first step toward a stronger, healthier you.
Right. So how do you do that? Because you do a tremendous job of, it sounds like an oversimplification, you do a great job of caring.
Yeah.
Meaning that it's like, you don't just know how they're moving today.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you did this weekend because I asked. I took time, I asked you, and I listened.
I think that the way it goes back to is like, I really try to listen to every little detail people tell me. I mean, there's a reason we have one mouth and two ears, right?
What's the reason?
So we can hear, so we can, you know, listen to what people are going to tell us, you know, and like, especially when we ask questions and like actually care what they're going to say. So I've talked about my imposter syndrome before, like how I've had issues with it. And, have you ever had to deal with that or ever thought about it or
never?
Never.
No, of course. Yeah. Dude, because I'm not just a coach. I've got a weird story because it's not just that I'm a wearing. I had this conversation yesterday. It's funny. It's not just that I'm a wearing, but I'm the wearing. I'm a wearing born of a female wearing. Right. So people ask me all the time, oh, you're a wearing? Who's your dad? And I'll be like, I don't know. And then they're uncomfortable. And I'm like, my mom is a wearing, you know? So there's a stigma that does come with that, mostly invented by me, you know what I mean? But doesn't make it any less real, to where you really don't feel like you belong. It's like, yeah, I'm a wearing, but am I really? You know what I mean? And I really avoided the gym mostly from the age of probably like 12 to like 30 years old, almost. Like I was in my late 20s. Like probably early teens to late 20s. I just avoided the gym because it's like I don't belong in there at all. Like I was really close to growing up, like my cousin Jake and my cousin Joe, like they're close as brothers, you know, like we grew up like super close. And you get like at that time frame, if you look at Joe is, you know, like a super genius compared to all of us. You know, he's read every book that's ever been, and you know, he decided to go to Tech instead of going to Princeton, you know. And then you've got Jake, dude, he's a college athlete. Like, dude, he's going to wrestle at Virginia Tech. And it's like, who am I, dude? I don't got anything going on. You know, I'm too afraid to try anything, you know, let alone like, you know, be good at anything, you know? So I'm like hiding out in the world of like punk rock and like pro wrestling and just like weird stuff, but really just enough to say I'm doing it. I'm not like really pursuing record deals or to get to the WWE. I'm doing just enough to say that I'm doing cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just hit that, talk about imposter and this syndrome in the gym. I'm talking about identity crisis in my life, in my like late 20s. I'm like, dude, I don't even know who I am, but I can't keep living this life. Like, I gotta pursue something. And I asked Tony, I asked him, you know, like, I started going back in the gym and started working out, and I started, you know, meeting some people in there who were cool, and I didn't have any prospects. I had nothing to do. And I was like, I asked Tony if I could just do some closing shifts, you know, and I didn't even get paid.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to start pursuing something. And so from there, it went from like there cleaning things and like closing stuff up in my late 20s, by the way, you know, to very slowly. It was hard. They wouldn't just let you coach.
Yeah. So like, how'd you break into like the coaching part? Like,
I asked a lot of questions. Ben was probably the main person who really helped me out. Like, he was hard but loving. Like, we got along all the time.
Yeah.
Even though there's times it's like, dang, dude, you ain't gotta call me out in front of everybody that hard, you know. I never held it against them. Like, wasn't ever didn't hurt our friendship at all. But I would like have to submit classes that I wrote to him, to which he'd be like, well, this is why this sucks, and this is why this sucks, and this is why this sucks. And, you know, which is kind of defeating at the time, but thank God my back's against the wall. I don't have another prospect. Like, if I don't get good at this, that there's no plan B, you know? So, thankfully for that I just had to keep on coming at it. I had to keep on writing him.
When did you feel like you broke through?
Last year, maybe. Yeah, I know. I mean, when do I feel like I broke through? Never really, I guess. When you say that, what do you mean?
Like, where you felt like you were confident enough to write the workouts on your own, and you know they were good workouts.
Oh gosh, dude, I don't remember that happening. I don't remember that being like a specific thing where I ever really. I still don't like to write them. Yeah. I'd still rather somebody else write them and me just critique them.
Yeah,
you know. I don't know when I ever like, or if I ever did feel like I was like a really strong programmer. Is not really,
well, not like a programmer, but like as a coach. Like, when did you feel like you're like, okay, I can deliver a great session?
Oh, man. I guess when it really came down to, can you figure out, because it's not about what you know, it's about what you can communicate that you know.
Yeah.
And so when I really came to terms with it, it really happened when my back gave me a lot of trouble for a period of time. And when I was really figuring out how to start all my movements from the floor was the only thing that was helping me.
Yeah.
It's this super simple thing. Like, it really starts to simplify everything.
Yeah. Nuts.
To when I'm just like, dude, well, my feet are a stabilizer, my ankle's a mobilizer, my knees a stable, and just you go up the chain and it's like, I only got two joints. They're either mobilizing me or they're stabilizing me.
Yeah.
And once you understand it that simple, then you can usually explain it pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess when I was able to start communicating aha moments to where you could say it in a way that people understand what it is. Cause when people say, now there you go, now engage your core, is like, oh, I don't know what that means. Dude.
Yeah. I never knew what that meant when people tell me about that until you have that, like, you're right. Like, oh wait, I did.
Right.
I feel like from my perspective, like I saw you do it a couple years ago where you could just explain stuff in your way. Like, you're like talking about a bridge and you're like, I want you to feel like your feet are almost pushing forward into the ground and your hips are coming up.
Mm.
And I was like, this is the way that Jesse feels it. And he's communicating it to us. And that, I thought that was very profound when you're able to do that.
National Coach of the Year.
No big deal. No big deal,
guys. Just please. Telling you. No, that was 2016. Please.
Yeah.
It's a lifetime
10
ago.
10 years ago. Decade ago.
No big deal. All right. Do you still have any level of imposter syndrome?
Yeah, sometimes.
What's it look like now?
It just looks like more so like when I can't figure out why something is hurting somebody. Like, I can't give them a finite answer. I can't be like, oh, it's because of this or it's because of that. When in reality, it's not just one thing. It's a multitude of things, like our stress levels, what we ate, how we slept, our hydration levels. Like, there's so many different things that can injure somebody. And it's not just the gym. The gym is going to make you stronger outside. And a lot of times when people get hurt, I put it on my back. And I think of, like, if I can't figure it out, then I'm worthless. Or, like, I am an imposter, you know? But then I just look at the multitude of people that I can coach successfully. And then I'm like, okay, it's really not that. I'm not that bad, you know? How would you like get somebody that is feeling that to be less of an imposter?
Somebody like, who's feeling like an imposter? I think there's only one way to do it. You have to have clear criteria.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you're always guessing until you have like an actual standard to hold yourself up to.
Yeah.
You know? So like, that's what we were talking about recently in like our team training classes. Like, we created, this is the criteria. This is the expectation. Success looks exactly like this, right?
Yeah.
And with that said, I mean, I look at team training. There's a lot of things I'm super proud of, like the development over the past few months in the gym, to where I feel I can see the future brighter now than I've ever seen it before. It's much more clear, but it's also having these like clear standards in these things. And I think team training is like an example to where I love right now. It's like, we do resilience. It always looks like a resilience class. Like, this is always my time. I get to slow things down. I get to have quality of movement. I have time to do it right. And anytime that you're in a cardio class, I don't have to see it on the board. I can tell this is a cardio class because I'm doing steady movement. I'm not getting many breaks.
Yeah.
Many or if any breaks at all. If I'm in a conditioning class, I know it's like, oh, I'm working really hard and then I'm getting rest. But I just like having these like clear criteria for a class, just the way you communicate them.
Yeah.
It says a lot to our members, but it also sets it up for us, for the coaches, to be more consistent.
Yeah.
You know, because if it's vague, you and I are going to coach a totally different class.
I agree.
It'll say the same stuff. It just will not look the same. Look different from Janelle. Look different if Maria is doing it. But if you can make it have a real identity,
mm-hmm.
well, now it's going to be the same, you know,
over and over again.
Yeah. So I think that's the only way you combat imposter syndrome you got to have a clear line of success and failure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
I like that too.
Cool, man.
What's the thing you're most excited about going forward in the gym?
I'm really excited to start working with the lifeguards. I start that next Tuesday.
That's cool.
Yeah. I'm excited to bring them into the gym and show them our family. I'm excited to just keep developing as a coach and like figuring out the answers that I would want to, like, if someone came to me, like, I got a problem, I want to fix it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm excited to learn that in the future.
Right.
And I'm excited to like develop our team. Like, I feel like we finally got our team together.
I think that too.
Like, this is like the first time in a while that it's like, all right, everybody's on board. Let's make it better.
Right. Like, we have a team and we've got a direction.
Yeah.
And that's, man, it's a completely different feeling.
Yeah.
Now I'm with you. Let me ask you this weird question between you and I, because you've spent as a wearing, I realize, because people will ask me wearing questions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That I just take for granted all the time. Like, we just assume everybody knows everything about us, but really they're all weird. I'm less weird than the rest of them, but you spend all this time around wearings. What's your real like thought about the wearing family?
They'll love you no matter who you are. Like, if you're part of them, like if like you go to bat for them, they're always going to come to bat for you. Like, you guys are always going to have my back no matter what. Now there's, you know, some testy times in there, you know, like there can
that's what I want to know about.
Yeah. I mean, there can be some like emotional things that can happen, but like it comes from a good place. Like, I feel like you guys care more about the members and like the work, the employees, more so than yourselves sometimes. Like, and I really do mean that. Like, I know there's been so many times where you guys have made my life easy for the sacrifices that you guys have to make, you know? And, you know, it's great, because a lot of you guys are the same, you know, you got the same mannerisms and like same things that you like, you know, like
same things that we like,
you know, you guys love granola and beef jerky and apples and, you know, like the same foods and stuff like that. And you just got similar like comedic things, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, we all laugh at the same jokes, stuff like that.
I think, and I'm grateful for it. Now it's hard growing up. It's hard growing up, period.
Yeah.
But it was like, growing up, a wearing is definitely a weird, difficult, experience. Just cause, and I'm grateful for it now, you know, but, I remember my experiences growing up in the gym. Cause I was there when I was a toddler. We didn't have a childcare and I was just there wandering the gym floor,
yeah,
you know, when I was like 4 years old. And, one thing that was always made real clear to me, you know, but and every young wearing I know would have the same experience of, it's clear to you, there's never going to be anybody who walks through this door that's less important than you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yeah. like, hey, whatever yeah. problem you got right now, you need to go figure that out, because we're dealing with other people right yeah. now. Like, we're here to help everybody else. You go figure it out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which sounds rough, but you have it now. It's like, that's where it comes from, that like, we're here to take care of people. Like, we're here to love people. I don't think mm-hmm. we should ignore each other when we're, you know, in pain and stuff.
Yeah.
But one thing I see from you too is that you've got a real high standard for effort, you know, not just the result, but like what you put into it. Right. And I was like, well, so where does that standard come from?
It just comes from seeing stuff done the right way and the wrong way. Like, I've seen, like, for example, like, I've done push-ups like halfway before in my life, or like pull-ups, like I've done them really fast. And it wasn't until like I traveled in 2018, like I used to always think that like more is better, more is better. Let me do more work. Let me do more exercise and I'm going to get more out of it. When in reality, it's the effort that you put in is going to really matter. And it wasn't until I traveled, I did this muscle up program where I learned how to do a strict muscle up, where it was just like really slow, pull yourself up, go into a dip, and then press up. And it was like really, really slow. And I, like, some of these workouts, you'd only be doing like 2 or 3 reps of stuff, but it'd be over 30 seconds. And then I'd be like, wow, I'm way more cooked during this time doing like 5 really good reps than I did ever did when I did 150 pull-ups. And so like, that's when it kind of clicked. I was like, all right, my intention, my effort is going to matter much more in these reps doing like a very small volume compared to like just doing them mindlessly. Right. You know? So like I've tried to take in that to my training of, you know, or my coaching of people that like, hey dude, like, okay, you just push the sled. Now you want to do jumping jacks and stuff like that. How about you just push the sled a little bit faster? Or how about you, like, instead of doing 5 miles on the treadmill, how about you work on sprints? Like, you're going to get the same you're going to get a better result with going, you know, high level of effort and a lot of rest than just, you know, I'm not saying that like long and duration cardio is not good for you. Like, it has its benefits, but like, if you're doing that all the time, like they've taught us in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, more is better. That's not the answer. You can get a lot more out of it doing less.
And so that's what the standard is based on. It is based on quality.
Quality, yeah. That's a good word, man.
Yeah, I summed it up. No big deal. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for.
I think, and it's hard to say because, it really started in 2019. Was when you could start calling it kind of like a nervous breakdown, you know, but my identity crisis that I was in, because my standard has always been, as corny as it sounds, it's always been love. You know what I mean? Like, I got to love this person who's right here in front of me, and I'm not even going to ask what I'm getting in return for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I did that for a lot of years, and 2019 was where I felt it crushed me because I had poured love out, did not know how to take it in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I just ran completely on empty, and like, I broke, you know? And, you know, praise God, that's where, you know, I was born again in that phase. But, I saw this video really early on. I don't know anything about the Bible. I didn't grow up with any of that stuff. And this guy was talking, and I don't even know what he was saying. It's biblical. It's not, what he's saying isn't biblical, but it all is consistent biblically, if that makes sense. But he said, and it gave me a lot of peace hearing him say it. No idea who this guy is. I couldn't find the video again if I wanted to. But he said that when you die, God's only going to ask you one thing. Did you believe that I love you? And biblically, that's consistent. I mean, that really is the thing. Like, did you believe that I love you? And so that had kind of always been my directive.
Yeah.
But now it's like, it's with a purpose. Like, yeah. Now it's like, what is the standard based on? It's based on him. So it's based on, man, he loved me in my brokenness. Like, the more broken I am to him, the greater I'm able to receive his love, like the more that I get to see his love. And so that standard for me is if I die, I want somebody to ask, man, do I believe that Jesse loved me? And I want them to answer, yeah, I want to have no doubt. So when I think of like, what's my standard is going to be like, man, you know what? I really taught him how to do a Turkish get up. You know, I hope you learn to do a Turkish get up, but if you don't, I'm good with that too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But if I find out that it's like, that they're like, nah, Jesse, I don't really believe that he loved me.
Yeah.
That would be like, well, I failed.
Yeah.
I failed that one. So I think that's my real standard is I want you not just that I love you, I want you to believe it. I want you to have no evidence that I didn't love you.
Yeah.
That's.
What are some non-negotiables in your daily routine?
Yeah. I have to before I digest anything, I have to read the Bible. I have to read at least a chapter, which a lot of that time of that day, I'm not really absorbing anything that I'm reading. Well, I'm not really understanding, but it's not about understanding about it. It's just the discipline of reading it and absorbing it and finding out wherever it is that he wants to use that. You know, in me, I don't hold myself to the under the pressure to like, I got to figure this out right now. Most of the time you can, but sometimes if you're in the prophets or something, you know, which I'm in Isaiah now, then it's like, you're like, all right, you know, like a lot of it. I have that. That's my super non-negotiable. Like I won't have, if you see me, you can be as certain that happened that day.
Do you have any others?
Yeah. I got a prayer closet. Really, it's a shed behind my house. But I mean, that's like, it's for that, I didn't used to be much of a journaler, and I'm probably still not much of a journaler, because it's usually just kind of like a letter to God. You know what I mean? Just like writing in it, and you take 10 minutes of, I'd say, meditation. A lot of the time I start thinking about other stuff, you know, and you
going to happen. That's going to happen. That's normal.
Right.
Yeah.
Those are probably the non-negotiables.
Yeah.
I'm pretty quick to negotiate though.
Yeah.
But those ones, I think those are the only ones that it's like, if you see me, you can be sure I did those.
Yeah.
Nice. How about you?
Usually, like my first thing, like before I go to bed, I gotta just like pray kind of, and like, serve, you know, give my gratitude to my family and my friends and everybody in this world. And then probably number two is I gotta do some type of movement every day. Whether it's lifting or running or something, I gotta move my joints and break a sweat every day. And I try to do different things and just, but that's like my stress relief. That's like my clearing of my head. That's like where I can just shut everything off and not think about anything.
The moving of your joints.
Yeah. I still think about stuff, but like I'm more thinking about like what I'm feeling and you know, where I'm at. And then it helps me like put the pieces together of other things I'm trying to figure out in my life.
Right.
I think like you, I can be quick to negotiate other things, you know, like I'm like, all right, I'm going to drink 80 ounces of water today.
Like, oh, dang it,
man. I'm peeing a lot, you know? Those are probably, lately I've been trying to read 10 pages every day of whatever book I'm reading.
10 pages?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do 10 minutes. So that ends up being about two pages for me.
Yeah.
So it's the slow path.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm reading like this like 500 plus page book right now. I've been reading it for maybe like 3 or 4 months, and I'm approaching page 400, but it's
chipping
like
away.
Chipping away. Fantastic though.
Chipping book, away.
The robe.
I'm a new client coming in to the gym. What am I doing? Like if I just walk in the door, I'm like, "Hey, I want to become more fit. I want to change my health. What are some steps that, like, what would it look like a little visualization of me coming in?"
Well, I mean, the idea would be we call a discovery session.
Yep.
Where the idea would be we could sit down, we could do it over Zoom. I love everything in person, but you can't answer any of those questions until you find out kind of what their life is now. You know what I mean? So it's like, we want to be able to tell them how to get to B, but until I know where A is, I can't tell them the best direction. So I think just having the kind of like questions that, because we just go on autopilot through our day. So instead of like just getting it down to like being able to ask, like, what is it? Where is it that you want to go? What's kept you from getting there until now?
Yeah.
And then a lot of it you could just find out by just asking them the basic stuff. Like if they'll answer you honestly, you know, about like what's your eating routine like? Like what's your sleeping routine like? Like how are you managing stress and stuff like that? And usually you can find that it's like the things that are keeping you from being where you want to be are some things that are super simple to change.
Yeah.
But also really difficult to change.
And yeah.
So I think just having that idea of being able to, we call it like a health roadmap.
Yeah.
That we find out where they are, we find out where they want to be. And from there, we help them to create a journey of how do I get from A to B.
Mm-hmm. So like if I'm somebody that has never been in the gym before and I'm looking to lose 20 pounds, like what would be the first steps for me after the roadmap?
After the roadmap? I mean, it would probably depending on like what it is that they're interested in. Mm-hmm. And probably like their fitness level, I'd probably suggest to them, you know, we do small group, the perpetual athlete, you know, where you get to really just work on. When I'm back there, dude, and I'm in pretty good shape. My pretty good mobility.
No, I'm kidding. Talk.
Mobility wise, dude, come on.
Come on, man.
I go back there in your small group and I'm sweating.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think usually that's a pretty good.
That's another good example of that standard that you set,
right?
Especially for movement.
Right.
Like you're dialed in
right
the whole time.
Right. That's usually would be my starting spot. Some people don't like that much attention.
Yeah.
Believe it or not. And a lot of them, the reason why they like a large group class is because they don't want all of the tension on themselves. In which case, if it's my class, I'm always pretty confident in it because I know that I can watch them. I think all of our coaches are pretty good at like, because you know most of the people who come in, if you see somebody you don't, you want to really make the time to get to know that person and like watch them closely in class and like see how they're doing, you know, whether it's in a small group or a large group class, but just, you know, being a shepherd.
Yeah.
I would say. So speaking of things that we're like super fired up about, on June 14th, we're going to the Atlantis apartment complex. We're going to do a community workout. The most exciting part about it is the partnership that we've just started with Virginia Beach Police, where it was very touching because we once had a really solid relationship with them.
Yeah.
Our granddad graduated from the police academy at 65 years old. And so he trained this whole generation of police, you know, who now are mostly retired at this point, the guys who he trained. And so it's cool to have this like renewed relationship with a younger police force. But the part that I really loved was it was that they reached out to us.
Yeah.
And they reached out to us asking for help to build trust in their community. And we talked about, man, the number one way to get trust is sweat equality, you know?
Yeah.
Like if we're sweating together, like we're struggling together, it doesn't matter if I got a badge and you don't, we sweat the same, we struggle the same.
Yep.
You know? And so getting to go into that community and do like a fun event, I'm super excited about that.
Okay, that's it for today. Thank you all for joining us on today's journey. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and check us out at wearingsgym.com. Also, I would love, love, love to hear your feedback, questions, and any topic that you would like to hear more about. Feel free to email me. My email is jake@wearingsgym.com. See you all next time.